Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity, God, to share your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us. You'd help us as we listen to your word, as we take in, Lord, the message that I believe you've given me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, so we're in January right now. And I know if you're like me or a lot of us, Jan is where you plan, you think about the year, maybe you set some goals. You know, if you're like me, you're starting to say, oh, what do I want to achieve this year, you know? And something happened now, this is like my first year being married, so it's like nine months. And so, unlike previous times, I can't do it by myself, right? It's like my goals or my plans have to now, you know? It's a whole other thing they don't tell you about. So somewhere in between this, me thinking about this coming year, talking to Leah, and then we decide, well, the suggestion comes that we should do a 5K this year, like a run, like get into running. Yeah, exactly. I'm also like, why? Why did I even? Anyway, so we decide this is what we're going to do, right? I know I'm Kenyan, for those who know, but I'm not the running type. That's not, there's a different tribe, you know? So anyway, so it's one of those new year, new us sort of things, right? Now, my laptop just jumped. So I said yes, we're going to do this. But when I was talking about it, I was thinking, oh, we're going to do it one day, you know? Yeah, 5K. I like the idea of it, right? I had this vague picture in my head, you know, around the cool breeze, you know, the cheering crowds. You know, that glorious moment, somebody running and putting up their hands up across the finish line. And that's what I had in my head when I was saying, yeah, we should do this. Nothing else. Like, imagine on race day. Let's say we have a race in the 10th. I don't know what the dates are. I wake up, take a long shower, put on my neon-colored running gear, and my super, no one tells you this, but running shoes are super expensive. My super expensive running shoes. And I tell Leah, okay, let's go. I'm ready. We're going to win this race. I have not practiced, not run 1 mile or 1 kilometer. And I tell her, we're going to win. I'm registered. I have my bib number pinned on my chest. I have my outfit. But I have not even taken one single practice run. What would you guys think? Exactly. I would be in for a painful surprise. I would have learned painfully that being registered for a race is not the same as actually being ready for one. And I say that to say, we often think about our spiritual walk like that, our Christian life. We think as long as we are registered, as long as we have accepted the gift of salvation and put on the Christian outfit, we can just wake up on any given day and be spiritually fit to run the race. Unfortunately, that's not true, right? 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. I like this scripture because it's actually a scripture around running. So this is Paul speaking. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. Some translation will say crown, but we, an imperishable one. And just that part where it says, so run that you may obtain it. That supposes that there's a way you can run that you will not obtain it, right? And so that's what I want to talk about today, right? How do we run in a way that you may obtain it? But I have a couple of disclaimers before I get into it, right? In the scripture, we're obviously reminded that our Christian life is indeed like a race. Specifically highlighting that there's a way to run this race. And my disclaimer is God loves you. God loves you, he loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He chose you when you didn't choose him. If you think what I'm going to talk about is about you earning his love, then you totally miss my message, so don't think about that. If you think that by doing what I'm going to talk about, because I do, it's very practical in what I'm going to talk about today, that God is going to love you more, you would have missed my message. What I want to speak about is being conformed to the image of Jesus and how we are actually supposed to partner with him. I'm talking about obedience to Christ, and I'm talking about spiritual maturity, right? Those are my disclaimers. My core scripture for today is 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. We can go there. It says, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. The scripture, you know, when you're preparing for a message, well, for me personally, there's never like a way that I do it. I was just like seeking the Lord, praying, Lord, what do you want me to share? And just that phrase that says, what does it say there? Train yourself. Sorry, is that the right scripture there? Having promised, let me read from there. Having nothing to do with the relevant silly myths, rather train yourself for godliness. Just that phrase. Like, I feel like the Lord dropped it to my spirit. Train yourself. So my point, if you're taking notes, my first point here is that training is not teaching. Like, training is not learning, right? And I know it seems obvious, but I think the Lord is very intentional in the words he chooses in his word. The word here for training is gymnazo. Say gymnazo. Gymnazo. That's an easy Greek word. And the root word is where we get gymnasium, right? So he's actually telling us that the Christian life actually requires a spiritual workout. Spiritual workout. He uses training. You can't just show up on race day and expect to run a marathon if you haven't even been to the gym. Training or exercise will require certain things from us. And I think that's what I want to talk about. I want to touch on that. What is training? I got a couple definitions, but I won't get into that. But I'll say three things that training requires. It requires discipline. It requires repetition. And it has to be deliberate and intentional. Those three things have to be in it. Some translation will talk about exercise, right? And all the sports people kind of get this, I know. But those three things have to be if you're going to train. Unfortunately, though, I think because we talk about grace, right? Anytime somebody says you must do something, it feels like they're saying that you need to do something for God to love you, or do something for somebody to for God to accept you. This is not what I'm talking about here, right? This is not about salvation, right? If you are saved, again, my disclaimer earlier, God loves you. He's already accepted you. But there is a work he's doing in you. And this work, right, the Holy Spirit is doing it in you, but he requires us to partner with him, right? And so as I'm talking about this, I'm putting those lenses because I'm not talking about salvation by works. Discipline is hard. Discipline is hard, right? But in our culture, I think even me when I was writing that, I was like, saying it just doesn't feel like it's gonna land hard, like discipline, right? We don't think about Christianity in that way anymore. But if you read the old saints, there is a lot of talk around the spiritual discipline, which is kind of, nowadays, is somewhere there. Some of us know about them, you know. Discipline is hard. We are so used to hacks. We're so used to the quickest way. We're so used to, like, getting information now, you know, that sometimes I think that's a barrier in our Christian walk with Jesus, right? I want to be more patient tomorrow without the discipline, you know. Even Kevin said this earlier, so I'm going to quote him. I want the soft life, you know. That's what we want. So unfortunately for us, if we're going to train ourselves toward godliness, that is not in the picture. Secondly, training is repetitive. You will not do one push-up and have a chest like Pierre. You will have to do it multiple times. You'll have to do groups of them. You know, you have to go multiple days. And the third thing about training, it has to be deliberate practice. There's an intentionality to training. Right, if you want to run a 21-kilometer marathon, which I'm not, and you want to run a 5K, those two trainings will look differently. You guys agree, right? There's intentionality to that. And I think we need to think about that as we're thinking about, okay, God, training myself towards godliness, right? What does that mean for me? In what area? And how does that look like? And you're asking the Holy Spirit. If you want to have muscles like Pierre, you will not stumble into that size. Sorry, Pierre, it's gym, you know. Okay, so that's my first point. Training is not learning. Okay. Secondly, training is our responsibility. Amma, if you can put that up there. Training is our responsibility. It seems obvious, but it says there, train who? Yourself. Not train somebody else or somebody else training for you. Train yourself. And here's the thing. Your community leader, your spiritual leader, whoever that is, your elder, your accountability partner, they can encourage you, they can teach you, they can show you from their life, but you're going to have to train yourself. There's areas in our lives that God wants to come in and do things in, right? But he's like, you know that's a problem. Bring it to me. Let's work this out, right? And so train yourself actually means training yourself. God will not do it for you either. He has given you his Holy Spirit. And he says, okay, this is the model, Jesus Christ. You already have the goal, right? If you're thinking about that goal analogy or your plans for the year, you want to be like Jesus. And he's given you a Holy Spirit. That's all you need, right? But you have to take it to him. What I'm calling for here is a recognition of responsibility in partnership with the Lord. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." For it is God who works in you. So those areas in your life that require training, right? The Lord, maybe right now, you know, I could pause and we ask the Spirit, which area in this year? Because I think it's so easy for us to come up with goals and plans for the year and forget that there's an intentionality to our spiritual life as well, right? And the reason this is kind of close to my heart right now is that I grew up going to church with some of my friends, and I've been walking with the Lord long enough to have seen some of them walk away. Well, I say walk away, but it's almost more like falling off. It's quite interesting. We did all the same stuff, right? I was in the same room listening to the same preachers. We went to the same Sunday schools or youth, you know? And then suddenly, one life thing changes. They go to another city. And then all of a sudden, Christians are narrow-minded. I'm like, what? What is that gap, right? Often, there's multiple things happening. I'm not saying it's only this. But I do say that I think part of it is us thinking we can just come and just be. And even as I say that, there's something in me to say, saying that, yes, the Holy Spirit is working in us. I have to say that. The Lord is doing something in you, right? But there is a part for you to play, right? My friends who walked away, listened to the same stuff, were excited about the same stuff, went to community, and we enjoyed, like, everything, you know? But there was something they didn't do, right? There's something they didn't do, and that gap is what the enemy probably used, right? Something in your life is going to change. And if you haven't learned to train yourself, life changes, you go to a city, you get married, something, I don't know, you get sick, God forbid, but like, you know? But if you haven't trained yourself, there's a gap there that needs to be filled up with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And now I just want to define godliness, because I think we have various ideas of what godliness is. If I had to ask in this room what is godliness, people would have various things. Some would say, you know, a godly person is somebody who does not drink alcohol, does not do drugs, they attend church maybe multiple times a day, very nice to everybody. That's a godly person. They dress in white often. They give to the poor. And church, I want to say, if any of that is your definition of a godly person, it's mostly not biblical. We can't define godliness with the things that we do or don't do. If that's how we define godliness, then we would have missed it. And not only missed what I'm trying to get at here, you would have missed the way godliness is explained in the Bible. right? Godliness is taught a certain way in the Bible. But before I get to a good definition of godliness, I want you guys to notice the word. It's I think in the ESV. If you can just go back to the core scripture there, the 1 Timothy 1. Sorry, 1 Timothy 4. Okay, it says, "Train yourself for godliness." It says there for godliness. Some scriptures will say towards godliness. I think that's an important phrase there, and here's why. There's people who do quote unquote godly things. But it's not towards godliness. It might be towards you seeing them, looking at them and being like, oh yeah, you know, even some of the stuff I mentioned, I will not talk about a specific religion, that's what they focus on, right? They focus on all the stuff that you do, all the externals, right? And so I want to say it's for godliness. It's for the purpose of this, a heart, deep devotion to God that manifests in a lifestyle. That's what the definition of godliness could be. A heart deep devotion to God that manifests in how you live. That's why we train ourselves. That's why, right? Or that's what we're training ourselves unto or towards. So why is this training unto godliness? Why should we, right? I like that the Lord often, you know, he doesn't leave us with our questions just there and we question. Often there's some answers right in the scripture. You know, and so for one, in the same text, it says it is profitable for all things. If you can go there. For while bodily training is of some value, it doesn't say stop going to gym or don't work out or don't look good. Godliness is of value in every way. My translation, I think NKJV will say profitable for all things. Say all things, church. Your schooling? All things. Your relationships, your family, about your job, your emotions, your thinking, about your discernment, your stewardship, your peace of mind, in traffic. The Lord knows how he's built this thing. So when he says that godliness, there, I know there's another scripture that says godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's the same kind of idea here. Godliness is of value in every way, right? So that's your one reason for why you should train yourself unto godliness. The second thing, same scripture, it says it has promise in this life and the one to come. I don't know anything in this world that, as an investment, will have returns here and in the life to come. There's nothing that I can think of. Only godliness and training yourself into godliness. Which is crazy, right? And actually beautiful and amazing, and that God gives you this opportunity and says, hey, my Holy Spirit is within you. Let's train. Let's train. You know? Because he wants to give us something on that side as well. As much as this side, as much as it's profitable for all things, all those things that I mentioned, he wants to give you something here and there. Right? 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25. I'd read it earlier, but if you can just put it up. Just that B part from 25 says, "In every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, which can some translations would say crown, but we an imperishable." There's a crown. There's a crown that Jesus has for you. Right? An imperishable crown. And there's other scriptures that talk about rewards for what you did in this earth. Right? And as much as we don't, it's quite weird talking about rewards in the Christian thing, but it's a very biblical concept that, hey, there in eternity, Jesus has your whole script of how you lived, and it's like, oh, well done, my son. Well done, my daughter, this one, you know? And so actually, in terms of like motivation, the Lord has given us motivation. Imperishable crown, right? The things here, if somebody gives you a crown, it might be like 30 karat gold, whatever, I don't know how carats, but like the most expensive gold, but it's gonna end up here. It's like there's no value in eternity, right? Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I will not get into that, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And just, again, that running analogy, that running thing. This Christian Christian life is like a race. It is like a run. But just note there that it says, lay aside every weight. I don't know if that translation. Yeah. Lay aside every weight. And then it says the sin. So we're not talking about sin here. Even as believers, there's weights we just need to cast off, right? Especially if you want to run in such a way that we will receive a prize. There's weights. I will not go into the weights. I think I want us to speak to the Lord about these things. Yeah. What are the weights? Because some of us are like, yeah, no, I've dealt with the sin. Maybe I'm not struggling with that sin anymore, so I'm good. But somebody once said that for Christians or believers, that the problem is not so much sin, but it's more secularism. That the things that we think are normal, like, oh, this is what people do, that those are the things that make us stumble, right? And I was talking to somebody in the house right now. Actually, I'm not seeing him, so I can't talk about him. And I hope you won't mind. And he was telling me how he said he's locking in. He's locked in. And that's why he's not answering his phone. And he said because he's found that as long as he's trying to achieve something, his phone is kind of the blocker to that. And he was saying specifically he wants to get more into the Word. And as long as he has his phone, it just keeps distracting him. I want to say that would be a weight for some of us. Yeah. That's what I would define as a weight. You know, just something that it's normal. It's normal to have social media, right? And I feel like somebody would pick on social media too much. I can't think of something else right now. But it's normal, right? How about talking about this race thing? I was talking to her about why are all the races on Sunday? Like they have races on Sunday morning. And so somebody who's been training is going to say, no, I've been training for this 21K. It's Sunday. It's normal. Well, it is, but it could be a weight to your spiritual maturity in the Lord. It's hard. Being a workaholic, Robin's example. You're working, it's good. We are supposed to work as unto the Lord. But then, what if you're working at the expense of loving your wife, at the expense of being with your children? And as I end off here, you know, I wanted to actually end by, okay, how do we train? How do we do this training? But I realized, like, I would end up narrowing it down to maybe the basics. Read the Word, pray, be in fellowship. Yeah? But I think those are like the foundational stuff. And even those foundational stuff, those of us who've been walking with the Lord for a long time, myself included, we still stumble on those. Right? And in those foundational stuff, there's levels to it. Right? You can read the Word, but do you meditate? Right? Okay, you meditate, but are you able to bring out the meat in it? Or are you still talking about John 3:16 after being saved 20 years? I make a joke about that, but what's interesting is that we find in Christian circles where somebody actually, let me make this example. You know, when I met Leroy won't mind me talking about this. When I met Leroy, he had come from a background or a church where it was a lot of like a prosperity gospel. What's the other stuff? Like they just talk about like how to get stuff from God. You know, and he would talk about this a lot. And it's because he had found that these things were lies, right? And these things were not true about God. And so he hated that thing. But now imagine. 10 years later, Leroy is still telling me about these people, like our word of faith, like these people, the prosperity. It would have been a problem, right? Because I'm like, okay, Leroy, sure, that is there, but do you see what's in the Word? Tell me about what's in the Word right now. What have you learned about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus now? You know? And so I don't want to narrow it down. I won't talk about how we train towards godliness. I think I want to leave it to you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, in what area this year? What area can I train towards godliness? You know? I want to leave you with this quote. Well, not leave you. I'm almost landing. David Tripp is a pastor, author, conference speaker guy. He writes to some theological students. And he says, it's quite easy for students like you to believe that biblical maturity is about precision of your theological knowledge and the completeness of your biblical literacy. But that would be incorrect. It's not merely something you do with your mind. Even though that is an important element. Biblical maturity is about how you live your life, how you treat your wife, how you talk to your kids, how you handle pressure, and how you handle success, etc., etc. And I think the reason I chose that quote is because we have AI now. Anything I want to learn, I can talk as if I know it. You know, I just Google quickly, and then I tell you about AI, and I tell you how, you know, what you can do with AI, whatever the thing is, right? I can Google stuff in the Bible, right? I can have it up here. I can have it. I can tell you. I can even quote, you know. But that is not what the Lord is looking for. In Philippians 3, 12, 14, this is Paul speaking. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has took hold for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus." Do you guys see the training? You see the push towards more? Like this is Paul. This is Paul. The guy who's written so much of the Bible. You're like, what? You as well? You know? But he's saying he presses on to take hold. And really, this is in the domain of what I'm talking about. That, hey, the Lord has already obtained this for you, right? There's a version of you that God wants out through his Holy Spirit, right? By the help of his Holy Spirit. But there's a partnering that you need to partner with him in, right? So I'm just going to throw, as I land, I'm going to throw some thoughts that I just had at the end because I wasn't sure exactly how to land this. And so I'm just going to read them out. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. It's not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. The salvation part was all Jesus. The response, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's us. We lay our lives down. We train. We love because he first loved us. We can't be coming to church year after year and it's the same thing. No growth, no pushing, no pressing, accumulating information but never experiencing true transformation by the Spirit. We don't just train to be better people. This is not self-development. We train so we don't miss the fullness of the life God has for us. Godliness is not a matter of salvation. It's by grace that we have been saved through faith. God loves you. And your salvation is a free gift. But godliness is something you cultivate. Something you cultivate. Thank you, Lord. I think I want to pray for Laura and Miguel, just with the ear thing. But before I think we'll do that, maybe